to this area have felt that God has moved them into this area to do this, and they actually are available to us. They will be with us for the duration of the time that it's going to take to do our pastoral search. So what it does is it saves us a lot of what we had to go through last time, where we had to bring in pastor after pastor after pastor and didn't have any consistency in the message, any consistency in, and it takes a lot of the load and the burden off the elders and actually helps us to be able to focus on finding a pastor that is going to take us to the next step. We are thankful for everything that Keith has done and has got us to this stage and has brought us as far as he has. And now it's time for us to move to the next step. And you're going to find that, and we're not going to go through a dip as much as we would if we didn't have a consistency in that. Dieter has been doing this for quite some time now. I believe this is his fourth church that he's done now. Him and his wife are local-ish, I guess, just they're from Leduc. And he's going to be talking us through a lot of this, so I'm not going to say any more. I'm just going to introduce Dieter Magnus, our interim pastor that is going to be with us as we search for a full-time pastor. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to move that a little bit because I wander when I talk, and if it's too close to me, I know I'm going to knock it over, and it could start a chain reaction of things that we don't want to happen up here this morning. So, thank you for allowing me the privilege of coming to serve you in this way. It really is a privilege. It's something, and I'll share a little bit more about that when I tell you a little bit about myself, how God led us into this ministry, but I really believe that it's a crucial ministry for churches. I love it. I love the church. I love the people of God. And God's done some neat things for my wife and myself as well during this time as ministry has changed. I started my pastoral ministry not very far from here in Warburg in 1983. And I was there for 7 years. And then it was one of the fun parts of that was the fact that during the time we were there, our youngest son was born, and we dedicated him while we were at the church. And then a number of years later, he came back, and he was the pastor there at the church, Matthew Magnus. And I think he's been here because he and Keith are good friends, and I think they did a pulpit switch once or twice during the time that Matthew was in Warburg and Keith was here. And so I know just a very, very little bit about this church. And those of you who have been here for a long time, Harvey and Becky Michelis, were they here at Mirror Lake before they went out onto the as international workers? Yeah, that's during the time that I was in Warburg. Harvey and I are contemporaries, and I'm pretty sure that I was pretty sure that Mirror Lake was the place that that he was at. That was, you know, 10 years or more ago, maybe probably more. It is the Advent season, and it is a time to celebrate the birth of Christ. It is a time when we look to see what God has done for us. And as we recognize the story, we see the key figures in the story are Mary and Joseph and, of course, the baby Jesus. But they're not the only ones who are part of that story. The story includes a lot of people, and we can think of Mary's cousin Elizabeth that we heard about in the Advent reading this morning. We think of the shepherds and the wise men and even Herod and the soldiers, the innkeeper, many of the people that are very familiar to us from the Christmas story. And I know we all know it, but sometimes we forget to think about the fact that this story started thousands of years before, because the whole Old Testament leads up to the fact that this story takes place. All of the people, from Adam and Eve through the whole nation of Israel, lived under the promise of God, Abraham and his descendants especially, that there would one day be a Messiah who would come. And so all those people who had faith and believed that God was a covenant-keeping God, a promise-keeping God, are part of this story because their faith led up to this. And then after the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of those who have put faith in him since that time, including those of us who are of the faith, are sitting in this building this morning, are a part of the Christmas story. The Christmas story is not just about three people and their amazing journey, but it's about the plan of God that he has for the whole world and for all of his people. Muir Lake Alliance Church finds itself on a journey right now that's very different than what most of you expected it to be a month or a month and a half ago. I'm guessing that most of you, when you were sitting here on the first Sunday of November, were going, well, I wonder what the new transitional guy is going to be like. And because you didn't even know that God had been working in Keith's heart and that it was time for him to make a move. Last Sunday, your board chairman, 2 Sundays ago, you said farewell to Keith and Lacey. Last Sunday, your board chairman, Ashley, announced that a transitional pastor was coming. And as you think of the next few months, you probably have way more questions than you have answers. I am not here as the person to supply all of the answers. If you're waiting for that, what's the line from one of the movies? Get used to disappointment. It's just not gonna happen. That's not my role here. My role here is actually to come and to ask more questions. And for this body, including myself, because I'm a part of this body during the time that I'm here, for us to be seeking God together to see what answers he wants us to know and to understand. Because yes, there is a plan and a process, but the wisdom out of that plan and the process is not because of the process. It's because we're laying it before a God who loves us, who has a plan for our lives individually, and a plan for Muir Lake Alliance Church. And our goal is to pray that through, to work that through, and there will be work, not just for the board. This isn't going to be just a board thing. This is going to be very much congregational involvement in this, and I'll share that in a few minutes. And what we want to focus on throughout this whole process is because of the God that we serve, we have hope in what the future is going to bring. It's always a difficult time when a pastor leaves. But there is hope for the future. And I want to read just a few verses to encourage you this morning and then share a little bit more about the process. And I want to read from Romans chapter 8 this morning. Very, very familiar verses. Some of you have probably even memorized it. I'm reading out of the ESV version this morning and starting reading at verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And that's often the situation that happens, is we get into a situation like that, we don't even know how to pray other than to say help. And that's okay, that's a good place to start. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And now, those whom he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. And so we're in that place. God has promised that all things, including the leaving of a pastor, having suffered through a transitional guy before the new pastor comes, are all part of God's plan. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with all things graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or stress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including going through a transitional process where we're looking for a pastor, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That far God's word, even with a few additions. To give you a little bit of context for the journey, I want to try and answer two questions this morning. First of all, who is this guy that's standing up here in front of you? How did he get here and what's happened? Well, I was born to a farm family in Looseland, Saskatchewan, just across the border from Provost, so about a 4.5 hour drive from here. I came to Christ at age 12 at Looseland Bible Camp. I attended Briarcrest Bible College, where two very key things happened. First of all, I committed my life to following God's call unconditionally. When I went there, I didn't know what to do after high school. I had taken one of those tests that they gave you back then, kind of like what you know, where are your interests, where are your abilities, what you should do, and I did fairly well academically, and so it came back with a great answer, well, there's really a whole lot of things you can do, so you pick. Big help. So I decided to go to Bible college for a year, and then I was going to go to university and become a teacher. But God put a very specific call to ministry on my life. I thought it was going to be on the mission field, but that's the direction that I began to head, that this was going to be a ministry life. The second thing is that's where I met Deborah, a very key part of my life, and I was smart enough to ask her to marry me, and I was also fortunate enough that she said yes. And so we just celebrated our 40th anniversary back in October. So we are, you'll meet her next Sunday. She's got, when we were doing transition at Southgate in Edmonton, she got involved with a ladies' quilting group. And they have their Christmas party tomorrow at our house. So she's at church this morning with some of the other ladies, making sure everything is ready for that. After college, I farmed for 2 years while my dad was regaining his health, and then I went to Canadian Theological Seminary, where I met some of the people that I know now, like Harvey and Becky, and others who are part of the denomination. Don Neufeld, who's one of the district coaches here, he and I were very good friends throughout school. I served in a variety of churches in both Alberta and British Columbia. And then in 2009, I hit burnout. I was at a situation where we'd been at a church for a couple of years that thought they had gone through a transition, but they really hadn't. And so some of the difficulties that had been there in the past resurfaced, and I put together a plan. And as I prayed about it, I felt this was what we needed to do over the next 6 months. And I presented the plan to the board, and one of the elders looked at me and he said, I think this is a good plan. Then he said to me, do you want to do it? And I opened my mouth to say yes, and I actually said no. Because I was done. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, after almost 30 years of ministry, I was done. I didn't have anything left to give because I hadn't taken some of the steps that I needed to take during my time in ministry to make sure that my health was where it needed to be. And so we wound up leaving and going through a fairly process of a number of years, which included me taking some time to work with Power to Change, which used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, and then coming back into church ministry. I did some interim stuff for the district in BC, and then began actual transitional ministry actually at Leduc in 2013. We were living in Abbotsford at the time. And so for 2.5 years, I was doing transitional ministry, flying back and forth from Abbotsford here to Alberta, including Peace River. And so my wife and I kind of got tired of me being gone from home for 3 weeks, or being gone for 3 weeks, home for 10 days, gone for 3 weeks, home for 10 days. It gets old after a little while. And I have a newfound respect for those who work in the oil patch and those kinds of industries where they're away and back and away and back and away and back. It's not a fun life to live from that aspect of it. And so a year ago, beginning of December, we moved to Leduc and felt that God's call was to our ministry here in Alberta and received support from the district for that. And so I finished in at the church in Edmonton and waited for a while as God opened up a new place, and then got the call from Ken DeMare and said, I would like you to consider going to Muir Lake. And so I came and I met with your elders board, and we agreed to this process. And so here I am, and away we go. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you a little bit about what this process is going to look like. Part of it is going to be a communication process, and I need to communicate, and as a board, we need to communicate, we need to communicate, we need to communicate. It is difficult for me to communicate everything directly to everybody all the time. And so one of the things that we want to do is I would encourage you, please, to send an email to the office, to Stephanie, with your email on it, giving us permission to put that onto a mass email. And is there a sheet here this morning? Yeah, there is a sheet at the back. Or you can just go after the service and you can write down your name and your email. Because one of the things I do during this process is I send out a weekly or an almost weekly email, updating what's going on, just with some family news, some things for me. And so what we want to make sure we get as many emails as possible so that everybody has the opportunity to do that. And anything that I send out that way, Stephanie will also make a photocopy of that. So if anybody doesn't have email and you need a paper copy of that, that will always be available at the office here on the day and the day after it is sent out. So we'll make sure that you have that. The second thing is that when a pastor comes, a new pastor comes and he's going to be here for a few years, he can just kind of slowly take his time to begin working towards getting to know people. I don't have time to do that on a slow basis. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is come and see me or invite me to go to lunch, to go to supper, to go to your place for supper, whatever it is, so that we can have a conversation and I can get to know a little bit about who you are and a little bit about Muir Lake Alliance Church, because it's going to be very important for me to gather a lot of information. And again, anything you tell me is going to be confidential unless you say go ahead or share this with the board or share this with whoever. If it's something I feel I need to share, I'll ask you directly before I share it whether it's okay for me to do that. And if you say no, it won't be shared. But we need to work through some things. And so I need to spend some time with each of you individually, or if you have, there's another couple or two or three other people that you trust really well and you're happy to have that conversation together, then let's do lunch or supper or something like that together. The other thing is, with living in Leduc, I'm not going to be driving up here every day. I will be up here other than Sundays. I will be here at least 2 days, sometimes 3 days during the week. One of the things I'll do on the email is I will be sending you out a schedule of when I'm going to be here. Or if you contact me and say, hey, we'd like to do lunch on this day, or we'd like to do supper on that day, then I'll build that into my schedule and I'll pick that as one of the days that I'm going to come here and spend some time here. So just kind of some housekeeping stuff as we begin to work through some of those. I realize Christmas is coming up, and so I'm going to be here next week, and then we're actually going to be at my son's place in Penticton for Christmas. And so I'm assuming most of this is going to happen after Christmas, but if there's something next week, please contact me and we'll see how it works out. So church transition, what's it all about? Let's go to the next slide. Church transition. Times of transition can be opportunities for churches to experience spiritual and relational renewal. Is it going to be renewal or grit your teeth survival? We want to make sure that it's the former and not the latter. See, there is an ultimate objective to this whole space. Let's go to the next slide. the ultimate objective? The ultimate objective is to hand off a healthy, spiritually renewed church to a new senior leader who fits the congregation and has been hired from a place of health under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is not just a human methodology. Prayer and listening to God is a very key part of this whole process. But we need to know what we need to be praying about, and we need to be hearing what God has to say to us. And so one of the things that I want everyone to know and to realize is that I value that if you are in your devotional time or you're driving your car down the road and you're praying about something and all of a sudden you have this thought, you think maybe from God giving us some direction for the church, come and share it with me. I'm not going to think you're weird or strange. I really believe God speaks to us. And he doesn't just speak to pastors and elders. Tracy gave a good example of that in her testimony that she gave, where she woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and it was like, what's going on? Oh, I need to pray. Thanks, Lord, for the reminder. And she prayed. And so those are the kinds of things, as you share that, we want to make sure that we take those things into account. Now, you also need to know that if you come and say, God told me, we're going to check. We're not just going to take your word for it, because I know in my life, sometimes I've had those, I hope God is speaking, but actually it might be me just wishing something. So we'll check. And when God really is speaking, I've found he always confirms it through a number of other people. And so let's just go through and see what part of this is. So what often happens is that the traditional paradigm is a hold the fort mentality. Often we call this interim ministry, where someone comes and they lead Sunday morning services, they maintain current programming, there's short-term administration, nothing looks to the future, there's basic pastoral care. That's what happens in the old paradigm, the traditional paradigm of what happens between pastors. And if you're fortunate enough to get someone who can come do that interim, it's often a retired pastor, he's there part-time, he's preaching, he's caring for people, and all those are good things. But there's nothing that looks forward to the future. And so what we want to do is we want to work with a new paradigm. We want to view transition as a season of renewal, of times when, as things are changing, they're actually changing. It's a time of meaningful change. We don't want to ever change things just for the sake of change. So I don't have any kind of list with me that says, okay, Muir Lake Alliance Church, here's the things you need to change. Because I have no idea what they are. There's some things that you guys are doing that are very clearly of the Lord, and we not only need to keep doing them and we need to keep planning for them for the future, but we need to build and we need to strengthen them. But we need to hear from God what those things are. And then if there are things that we need to change, we need to know the reason why God is directing us as well. So there will probably be some changes, but we want them to be meaningful changes and never just change for the sake of change. We're also going to begin a thorough pastoral search process. There's a right way and a wrong way to go about this, and hopefully we will help you to do this in the right way. And then it's a pastoral search done from a posture of health versus desperation. What's happened in many churches as the denomination has looked at it throughout the years, a pastor leaves, the majority of people in the church, their idea is that we need a pastor and we need a pastor fast. The guy who really started this ministry within the Alliance, he is out in British Columbia, and he was doing his master's thesis after many years of pastoring. And he had a much fancier title, but the title of his thesis at Regent basically was, Why Churches Hire Bad Leadership. Now, he wasn't talking about bad people as pastors, but why churches hire pastors that don't really fit what they need. And he came up with with a conclusion that churches would rather have bad leadership. Again, not bad people, but not right for the church. Churches, most churches would rather have bad leadership than no leadership. And so if they liked the last pastor, they quickly go out and try and find somebody exactly like him without thinking about what else they might need. Or if they didn't like him, they go out and try and find somebody completely different, not thinking about what that pastor had, the gifts that he had that helped them as a church. And so in this process, we want to know who we are, how God has wired us as a congregation, what direction we see God leading us in for the future, and then hire someone who has the gifts and skills and abilities to help us in that journey. And it's amazing how when we take the time to do that, and Shane said, this is the fourth church I've been doing that, by the time we get to the search process, often though the church as a whole is thinking entirely differently about what kind of pastor we have to have. And then when the resumes come, it's often very easy to look through the resumes and the qualifications and going to say, yes, this person could possibly fit, or, you know what, as wonderful as this person sounds, he just doesn't fit with what we need. There was a friend of mine who was doing transitional ministry in a church in BC, and the search team fell in love with a resume. And he said to them, but he doesn't have any of the qualifications that we're looking for. Oh yeah, but I mean, he's a great guy, and they brought him in, and he was a wonderful preacher, and I mean, they were just so excited, and they brought him in to meet just with the board, and then they brought him back in to candidate, and the church liked him, and everything was going great. And a week after they called him, he wrote back and said, he emailed and said, you know, as I've been going through this and as I was there, I really don't fit the qualifications for what you need for your church, so I'm going to turn it down. And they went, what happened? And my friend said, he said, the hardest thing for him was not to say, you guys told yourselves that he wasn't the right guys, but you didn't even listen to yourselves because they had the profile there of what they believed God had led him. And so they went back and in some ways almost started again, and the pastor that they have now meets those qualifications and is doing a fabulous job. And so that's what we want to do. That's what we mean, hiring from a position of health. And it's something that we believe God very much involved in. So one of the things that can happen then is congregational change. This is a little cartoon, and Andy Capp, some of you are familiar with that cartoon, has been gone, and his good wife says, hello, and he says, take me back, I'll change. And she says, so you'll stop lazing around and get yourself a job? And he says, well, maybe change is too strong a word. I've seen churches like that. I know when I was pastoring many years ago, I was in a community in BC, and there was a pastor who had been hired to do some very specific changes in a congregation. And so he came, and over the first three years that he was there, he changed those things that he asked them to change. And he was let go because things changed too much. And so often when we talk about change, what we really mean is we would like things to change so that we feel better about the way things are, not change listening to what God has saying to us. So let's continue on. Here's a model of change. So what often happens is you have the status quo, and that was when Pastor Keith was here. Things were going along, and then there's a foreign element that comes into the situation, and that foreign element was Pastor Keith's resignation. That totally changed the status quo. And so then, as you see in number 3 and number 4, there's a few things that happen. Resistance and anger, denial. We go through those emotions and process. And that brings us to a place where we're not sure what's going to happen, and we can either descend into chaos, or we can see this as an opportunity to take time to hear what God has to say to us. And so as we believe that it's an opportunity and we begin to work on those things, then we begin to understand that there's some practices we need to be involved in, and we integrate what God's saying to us, where we are looking at the past, we're looking at the future, we're integrating those things, and we're saying, here's going to be some of the new ways we're going to do things, some of the new practices that we have. And then we hire a new senior pastor accordingly, and now there's a new status quo. But it's different than the other one. This happens to be higher, which doesn't mean it's necessarily better. It's just different. It's the new journey that we're on. Now, there's three different ways to take this journey. The first one is that in this room, all three ways are represented. There's the early adapters. Those are the people who, when they're confronted with change, their immediate reaction is, okay, what needs to change? Let's change it. Let's go. Let's do it. Pastor Keith is gone. We loved him. We were glad he was here, but now we need a new pastor. Let's go. Then some of you are mid-adapters. You're ready to make change, but you want to see the process of why we're doing it, how we're going to do it, who's responsible for doing it, who's going to pay for it. All of those questions need to be answered. And then there's the late adapters. And whatever we do is going to seem like we're rushing things and we're going to change it too fast. I want everybody to stand up for a minute. Let's stand up. Now look around at the other people in the room. These are the people you're going to take this journey with, plus whoever else isn't here this morning. And as you look around the room, you're seeing all three of those represented. Go ahead and sit down. And so for early adapters, I ask for patience. For mid-adapters, if we're missing part of the process, please say so. If you think there's something missing, and for the late adapters, when you're struggling with the change that's going on, come and talk to myself, talk to one of the elders, we'll try and help you through it. But change is going to happen. Some things are going to happen. And so pray for one another. Pray for, and as you look at those, probably you know who fits into what category. At least you know one or two people in each of those categories. And if you're in a different category, pray for the people who are in the other categories, so that we all work together. Because one of the things that can happen in this process is that Satan wants to use this as a time to bring strife and dissension into a congregation. And we believe that the Spirit wants to use this as a time to build us as a body in the congregation. And so we're going to do this in a number of ways. First of all, there's going to be visionary renewal. Let's flip to the next slide. I went one too far. Congregational renewal. So we're going to ask ourselves three questions. Where are we headed? What's important to us? And are we healthy? So that as a congregation, those are questions. And there's a number of ways we're going to answer those questions as a congregation. Again, this isn't going to be me telling you the answers to these questions or the board telling you or me the answers to these questions. We're going to do some things together as a congregation that are going to help us understand the answers to these questions. And at the end of it, we want to be able to answer that question to say, yes, we're healthy. Now, not perfect. Because if we wait until we get everything perfect, we're going to be waiting a long, long time. When I was in seminary, I was in a pastoral methods class, and Dr. Stays, who, a dear man, great man in the Alliance, and he died a few years ago, but I remember at the end of his pastoral methods class, and it was all guys in the class, and he began his last, his farewell, or he finished his last class, his farewell to us by this, and I'll never forget it. He said, gentlemen, he said, as you leave seminary and go to look for a church, he said, please do not look for any perfect churches. He said, first of all, there probably isn't one out there, but if you find it, please don't go, because I've gotten to know you all and you'll wreck it because you aren't. We're not looking for perfection. We're not looking for perfection. We are looking for God's vision and direction for us. And so we'll go to the second piece, visionary renewal. And I see some of your vision up there. And you guys have done a lot of work, and a lot of it's been done in the last few years under Pastor Keith. And so probably very little of this will change. But we will ask ourselves these questions. Given the pattern that exists today, where is our church headed? Are we headed in the right direction? How do we feel about the direction it is taking? Do we like where the church is going? And what excites you most about what God could do through our church? So are there some exciting things? And in future times, I'll share some stories of some of the things that have happened in other transitional times, how God has taken vision that was already there, but blossomed it during the transitional process, because all of a sudden people started thinking, yeah, there is something more we can do. There is something different than we can do. And then thirdly, structural renewal. First question we ask, what don't we want to change? Again, change isn't about changing everything. What don't we want to change? What are we passionate about? What are our core beliefs? What are the things that we hold dear to? And what are the ambiguities and tensions? Should we address it? Because sometimes there is an ambiguity or a tension that actually helps us do a ministry, and we don't want to change that. We just want to leave that alone. And so once we have some answers to those, we ask ourselves, so is the structure that we have enabling us to do that? If we go into a church that has a multiple staff church, one of the questions we ask is, are we staffed properly? One of the questions that we ask here one is about how things are structured, the way that we do ministry, the way that we do things, who oversees who. We'll look at all of that and saying, are those things helping us to do this, or is there some area that's hindering to do this, and we need to make a shift here or a shift there, or we need to begin this and end this? I don't know what any of those are, but we will find those out together. And then relational renewal. How spiritually healthy are we? Are we seeing people regularly finding faith in Christ, growing in their faith? Are we a Christ-honoring body? Or are we dragging spiritually? And if so, why? So here's some of those things. And so the relational renewal is a two-way street, actually a three-way street. It's first of all our relationship with God. What's that like? Then our relationship with each other. And the more stories we can have, like the story that Tracy told us, where we're supporting one another in the needs that we have, the better off we're going to be. And then what's our relationship like with those who are not yet part of this faith journey in the community around us? What's that like? And so it's really going to look at what are the things that we need to do to build and to grow and to strengthen those relationships. So here's some points to ponder, some things to think about as we go into this. First of all, pastoral transition in a church is an emotional experience. It's okay if you feel emotion during this. If there's excitement about a new change, if there's fear, if there's anxiety, if there's questions. Not that we live in those emotions, but we know they're going to happen, and we can bring those to God because we know that we have a Savior who lived on this earth and led a group of men and was part of a family, and he saw all of those things, and we see how he experienced many of those emotions. His joy, his sorrow, his anxiety, his disappointment, all of those things that happened in the life of Christ, we see that's there. So it is an emotional experience. Many are grieving at the loss of a beloved leader and a familiar voice. Others are simply wary of change and are unsettled. And so that's where many of you could be. So therefore, we want to bathe the entire experience in prayer. One thing you can't do during this time is pray too much about it. Can't be done. So if you're part of a home group, if there's a friend that you meet to get together for prayer with, if there is in your own devotional time, personally, or as husband and wife, or with somebody else, whenever, however you're doing it, pray about this. And that's one of the things that I'll be doing in the weekly updates that I send out to you. If there's some things that we need prayer about, they'll be in there. And so you can check that out. I would ask you to pray for me in this, because one of my big fears always is that somehow I'm going to get in the way in this process. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that as God speaks, that we hear him together and that I'm out of the way so that we can move in that direction. And so we need to see transition as an opportunity for personal and congregational renewal. So how are we going to do that? Well, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to create a pastoral and church profile. We're going to profile our community. As I was here in the office a couple of days earlier this week, I noticed in the desk in the senior pastor's office that you have a community profile in there. I didn't take the time to read it, but we'll look at that. And so that may be one of those things that a lot of our work has been done, and we can just make sure that that's up to date. A profile of our church, who we are, what we're like. Directional statements. Where do we want to go? Where have we been and where do we want to go? A pastoral profile. What are the qualities and characteristics of the new pastor that we believe we need here, that God has led us to understand that we need here at Mirror Lake Alliance Church? And so I don't know if any of you have ever gone on to any of the church hiring websites, but often you'll see churches will have job descriptions. And this is what they're looking for. And there's often not a lot of information about the church, but their information about a pastor is, and this is one that I read a few years ago that I thought was really good. You know, they want someone who's about 35 years old with 40 years of experience. They want to make sure that he's always out in the community but available to anybody in the office anytime that they need to talk to him. That he has both young children and teenagers, so he understands family life, but he has lots of time to be with the congregation in the church. And it just kind of goes on and on like that. And as you read some church job descriptions, it's almost like that. So he's got to be a super preacher, a super leader. He's got to give vision to the church. He's got to be able to lead children's ministry. He's got to be able to lead youth ministry. And it just goes on and on and on. We want something very realistic. And one of the things that I've seen in all three of the previous churches that I've done is when people have sent resumes or if I've gotten phone calls, one of the first comments almost always is, and this is true for other guys I know who do transitional pastor, someone calls in and go, wow, like I know a lot about your church and what you're looking for from just the information you've put on there. Because instead of being one or two pages, it can be, depending on the size of the church and the amount of information, it can be anywhere from 10 to 20 plus pages long of information. And so it really helps people to know and to pray through accurately. Now, that doesn't mean we still don't get some strange resumes where, did you read the profile? Like, it very much helps. And so those are some of the things we're going to be working on together. And again, you as a congregation are always going to be a part of that. And before anything gets sent out, we're going to be having some meetings and going through some things where you will know exactly what's in here. One of the ways I know that this has worked well is I've talked to the pastors who come in to candidate in churches that I've been in. And I've had this experience where I've gone in and candidated at a church and I met with the elders board and we had conversations. And then there's usually a time when you have After a service, you have a lunch or sometime when the congregation gets to ask the candidate questions. And sometimes you walk out of there wondering whether the congregation and the elders board actually even know each other. Because what the congregation seems to be concerned about and what the elders board seems to be concerned about are two totally different things. In the situations that I've been in, the guys who've come there as pastors, what they have said to me was, it was really cool to have the conversation of the elders board and then have the conversation with the congregation, and we talked about the same things. There was almost nothing new that came from the congregation that the elders board hadn't already talked to me about. That's God's people working together under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, all moving together in one direction. And so we want to keep the congregation regularly informed of the transitional process and how each step affects the pastoral search. And so when we do something, if you're wondering why in the world are we doing this, it just means that I haven't explained it well. So ask me, and I'll explain it again. That's always, always on the table. So what we want to do is we want to welcome a new senior pastor who fits the congregation and has been hired from a place of spiritual health and renewal under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We had that as the ultimate objective at the beginning. That's our ultimate objective here at the end. Now or any time in the future when you have questions, please come and talk to me about it, or to any of the elders about it. We're happy to share information with you. We want to be able to do this using the words of James from Acts chapter 15. Remember, they had a big council. All of the people were together in the church in Jerusalem, and they were debating on what to do about the whole issue of circumcision. Because all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of Gentiles who were becoming Christians, and they weren't circumcised. And there were still people who were saying, well, we have to do it this way, and others were saying, no, we now have freedom. And as they wrote the letter, here's how the letter starts. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's what we want to say. When a pastor comes and candidates and we give him a call, we want to start the letter or the email or the phone call to that person and his family to say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to call you as the next senior pastor of Muir Lake Alliance Church. If we are able to do that, no, back that up. When we are able to do that, we will know that God has his hand in this, and his ministry and the ministry of this church will continue to flourish and to grow in the future. So please send in your emails or sign that sheet in the back so that we can begin that process of communication with you. And any time in the process, please feel free to ask whatever questions you want to ask or share any concerns that you have, and we'll try to make sure that we do that. My task here is to serve you. One of the things that will be in the bulletin next week will be my cell phone number. I saw a little thing in there about, you know, here's the office hours and after hours, you know, call one of the elders. You can add me to that list. I carry my cell phone with me. If I can't answer the call, leave me a message and I will get back to you. But please feel free that even if I'm not in the office here, I am going to be doing, because of some of the work that I do, there's some of it that I can just do from home. And so I don't have to drive up here and sit in the office and drive home on a day. There's some of it I can just do from home. That doesn't mean that I'm out of contact or you can't phone me because it's not an office day. Phone me. And I'll be glad to do whatever I can to help you. It is a journey that we're on, and we're on this journey together, but we have a God who is a God of hope and a God who keeps his covenants and his promises. And he has promised that when we as his people obey him and pray and listen to him as he speaks to us, that he will bless and grow his church. And that's what we want to see, people's individual lives growing and the church growing to the glory and honor of his kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we are so grateful for this time that we could spend together. Lord, I pray this morning that you would give us all a sense of peace, a sense of hope, and a sense of excitement for what you have for us next. Lord, there's some hard work along the way, and there's probably going to be some things that are going to be painful to deal with. Some of it's going to be very personal issues that we've been holding on to and we need to let go of. Some of them may be with the way that we've always done things and we need to change some. Some of it may be that there's just something new that we've known for a while that you were talking about the fact that we should do that. And there's just been a resistance, and now, Lord, you're going to break that resistance down and you're going to lead us into a new journey. Some of it may be what you call us to do, and there may be fear saying, where something inside the church or outside the church that you're calling us to, or perhaps giving more funds, or perhaps doing something we've never done before. Lord, whatever it is that you speak into our hearts and lives, may we be ready to answer your call. May we be a people who are ready to obey you anytime, any place, with anything. And Lord, as we pray and as we hear, we'll say thank you, not only for the good things, but even for the trials that come our way through this, so that indeed we might grow in the way that you use circumstances to grow our lives. And Lord, as we grow and as this church grows, we will be careful to give you the praise and glory for everything that happens. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Team, come and lead us in the last song.